Okay, so we are into the extended entity relationship modeling, and we spent quite a lot of time on Tuesday on the subclassing and generalization and specialization, which is the most common used extension. But today we'll talk about very briefly about aggregation and composition, which are two other extensions you can use, and we'll talk a little bit about the semantics. But I think mostly it's not so much used as subclassing, because it doesn't, when it comes to the modeling of the data, it doesn't add so much to it. It's more onto how the lifespan of objects are being dealt with, and that's sometimes left more to the applications than to the database itself. So, but subclassing is quite convenient in communicating well the structure of data, but doesn't mean that it's of no use. I mean, it's added because sometimes it will add useful semantics and makes it easy to understand what we mean in the model. So the first is aggregation. And you probably remember from the software engineering course that you have the diamond here that tells that this is an aggregation. So how do we read this? Well, we read that a team has one or more players, as defined here. Now, although I say zero or one or many, there may be different uses of this model in which we could extend this. For instance, this assumes that a player can only be part of, at the most, one team. But now, if you would like to add the national teams, I don't know how much you're interested in football. I'm not at all, but still, it's a known kind of case that we could use. So a football player would typically play for a team. And then, as well, they may be on the national team for their country. So they may have two, actually play on two teams. And if you would like to represent national teams as well, then all of a sudden we will have to represent or have the possibility to have zero to two teams. And if we open for the case that a team may fire all their players, say, okay, let's start all over again. So we fire all our players and we start looking for new ones. Then over here, we will probably have zero to start. So a team can exist without any players, and a player may not be on a team. It could be one team or maybe two teams, depending on the case. So for aggregation, this is a typical case for aggregation, is that the whole, in this case, the team may exist without any of the parts. Liverpool will exist as a team even if they fire all the players. And a player doesn't have to be part of a team. It can exist individually. That's typically the case for aggregation. So it's a composition. So a team has players, or a player is part of a team, but it's not very strong. So you can be, and also you could be part of multiple teams or multiple larger units. So you see the point? So aggregation, but it communicates that the team consists of something or has something, it has players. And then composition is pretty much an aggregation in which is a much stronger ownership, and lifetime is typically aligned very well. So the part cannot exist without the whole, and the whole doesn't exist without the parts. So if you go in this case, for a campus building, so let's say this S building, Smaragd building, S206 is one of the classrooms here. This classroom wouldn't exist if we blew up the building. And the building contains the classroom. So the classroom is part of the building, and it will be forever until we remodel, so to say. So there is a the part, the classroom, wouldn't exist without the whole, and the lifetime is typically when we make the building, we also make the classroom, and when we destroy the building, we also destroy the classroom. So its composition is much stronger semantically. So it has to do with the creation and deletion of the parts as in relation to the whole, the object as such. So it's a nice and convenient modeling tool that you may use, and in some cases it's the right one to use. But you will find that in many cases you can do very well without it. So it's not one of the most used ones. Okay. So to decide whether you have aggregation or composition, then you need to decide on how strong the ownership is, how strongly aligned the lifetimes are. And in database modeling, sometimes you could use weak entities instead, because if you have a weak entity, then the weak entity can't exist without the stronger entity. So it will depend on, and when you delete the stronger entity, you can't keep the weak entity. So this is another way of modeling the same thing. So that's the nice thing about modeling, is that you have alternative ways. Sometimes it's confusing. So as I said on Tuesday, my rule of thumb would be choose the model that is the simpler to understand and the simpler to communicate, because this is about communication. So if using one of these mechanisms or one of these notations will help you to clearly document or state what really this application or application area or the domain is about, then go for it. The easier, the clearer you communicate the needs, the better it is. Less likely that you're going to have misunderstandings between the customers and the developers, or between the developers and the development team. We will come back to this in not next week, I think, but the week after. Dipti is going to talk about how we map the conceptual model to the logical model, or to the relational model, where we start seeing tables again. Now, I told you on Tuesday that you should prepare and read the case and think about it, solve it yourself, which brings me to, I'm just going to do one today, just one. I just want to know, in this, if you look at the last 2 weeks, so in this year, on your calendar, you have two hours, every time we have a lecture, you have 2 hours up front where you can prepare. So in the last 2 weeks, you have the possibility of using 8 hours to prepare for lectures, or you can decide, or you might have decided to use none. So how many hours did you use these last 2 weeks on preparing for a lecture, from 0 to 8? And there is no correct, I mean, the correct answer is whatever you did. I don't need to know what you should have, or what you thought, or what you hoped for, but really what you spent. And it would be interesting to see how that distributes over. And I'm quite sure that a few of you will do other database-related activities, like the assignment and other. But here I'm just interested in the time you spent on preparing. Question?
Is this for each lecture or for all the lectures?
For the database lectures. So for all database lectures, so the last 2 weeks we had 8 hours preparing and 8 hours of lecturing. So how many of these 8 hours that you had put on your calendar for preparing did you actually use for preparations? Okay. That's very, very good to know. And I will at some point ask why. Why so few or so many of you decided not to spend it. But that's a different topic. Now, thank you. What we'll do then, I have to assume that quite a few of you did not think about this one. So let's go through the case. You can read it first. And I don't know if Dipti has suggested a way to create a model. In my head, what I like to do is to find all the entity types first and then start thinking about the relationships and then worry about the attributes. And if it's a complex model, I'll try to do it in blocks. Try to find, divide it into pieces and find for small pieces. These are rather simple cases, so here we don't need to divide into blocks. We tried first to find all the entity types. you mostly through. So what is this about? What are the entity types here? Any suggestions?
One is investment.
One is investment, and customer. So the most two most important ones would be customer and investment. So let's start there. So we have let's see here. We have customer. By the way, some of these design tools you have, you won't necessarily find these arrows, filled or open arrows, unfortunately. So sometimes you just have to create them yourself. And I did before I came here today, so I didn't have to create one now. And there is a relationship between customers. And let's change this one. Because that's the... Let's see. If I can, investment. So let's break it, even though I said it was not a complex model, let's break it. Let's look at the top first. We have the customer and investment, and we have the relationship. What is the relationship between the two? Yeah, so the customer will invest into. So if we put here, invest, because the customer is investing into. So what then is the cardinality? How many investments can a customer hold or own? May not be anyone. I mean, you could sign up as a customer, but you haven't signed into any investment plans yet, or multiple ones. Let's see. Just gonna just copy this one. Is that correct? Could the customer have zero? Could they have many investments? Not necessarily. I mean, if you suggest a new investment plan, you put in a database, you have no customers yet. So there may not be any customers interested in any of the plans.
But isn't this that the customer makes a investment?
No, these are the plans. So this is the actual investment. That's the this relationship. So when this customer buys into it.
You have to offer different investment schemes.
Because these are the investment schemes. So I should probably say investment scheme, sorry. That would help a little bit, I think. So let's call it the investment scheme. You're absolutely right. It's a bit confusing otherwise. Investment scheme. I just need to make this box a little bit bigger. There you go. So if you look at the, we'll do this part first. If you look at the case again, what are the attributes for a customer? So here it says ID, name, and address. So if you go here, just put it over. So you have an ID, and that sounds like the primary key. Name, address. Let's see, make this a bit bigger. Yeah. If you look at the investment scheme, yeah, so it's an identification number. So it says that the by its identification number is up there. It also says that the total amount a particular customer is invested is kept in the database. So we also need to worry about the amount. So let's go first for the... the ID number, which is the primary key. Now, where would we put the amount? On the relationship, because the amount is for each of the actual investments. So, so we need to create an attribute here. It's typically made this way. So it's an attribute on the relationship itself. And this is now that's the amount. Okay, so that's the overall. But there are more details. So what are the details? So if you talk about the customers first, so we see that their customers will be from the general public, from institutions, and possibly employees of institutions. So there seem to be three subclasses, is that right? General public, institutions and companies, and employees. So let's hopefully I have room for all of this. So if I do, so at least we had institution, and let's just do this, delete this for now, and then we have employee, and we delete this. Because the question is, what do we want to store about these guys? For employees, their department, and for institution, the contact person name. So we need department and contact person name. So here, employee, there is a department. And for, let's see, for institution, it's contact person name. Just do this. These are subclasses, so which means that we're going to make... class hierarchy.
and
I have deliberately ignored the general public for now, and we'll come back to it. And as we said, so this is the class hierarchy. And as we said on Monday, we then need to define our constraints. So the constraints, let's see, would be something that we put in here. And first, it's the participation constraint, which says, will all customers have to be one of the subclasses? And now it depends on what we're going to do with the public.
Yeah,
comment. General public is the other ones. Yeah, right. So if we would like to, we could create a general public subclass, but there's no attribute specific to general public. So we could as well just say, okay, general public is whoever is a customer who's not one of the special cases, which means then that it can't be mandatory. It will have to be optional. Because there are, general public is not one of these subclasses. Could an institution be an employee? No. So it will have to be one or the other. There is a relationship between these two as well, isn't there? So if you take... if you do this... and say, because an employee works for, okay, yeah, it's a bit tight here. Then in room for the subclasses of the investment scheme as well. And an employee, how many companies would an employee work for? Doesn't really state, but since it says employees, it's reasonable to think that we also need to, if it's an employee, it will be affiliated with the company, seems likely. If you would like to have them register as employees, why would it just be not the public? Because they would, you would like to know the department name, and the department name would be relative to company, I would believe. Comments? Could be. Okay, so let's simplify. Let's say that's how we interpret this. I didn't make the case. Dipti did, so I don't know what she thought. But let's make it simple. So let's just then...
It says in the description, institution and its employees.
Yeah, I think that you know, the company also accepts this. From, I think it'd be the employees from the company that gives the investment, not the employees of the institution.
Okay. Yeah, okay, we need to make some assumptions. Let's say, okay, we don't have to worry about it. We have employees of whatever that company, and we know the department, and we have other institutions. So we simplify. Okay, this still applies. It's or. They can't be both, and it's optional. Yeah, okay. We like the simple cases. Isn't that what we said? Yes, we like simple cases. Now then, let's look at investment scheme. So the investment scheme... So we have shares, debentures, and fixed deposits. Customers can invest in any type of investment, fixed deposits, debentures, shares. So these are the three. The total, yeah, and then fixed deposits have terms, and payment scheme. Okay, so they at least that seemed to be something special. So we need to have, Let's try to copy this guy. Fixed deposit, and it had, term and payment scheme would be the attributes of fixed deposit. If we go to the case, now, what do we do with the 1, 2, 3 years? Do we have a subclass now for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year deposits, or would these be, as we just did, just say these are the terms? This is a question that we're always going to come back to. Yeah, what do you? Yes, maybe we could use a special attribute like we did, because we could do subclassing as well. But subclassing, as we said, is more complex. And the question is, do we need that complexity? And whenever we find a type, and you have that in your assignment case as well, you have garbage type, would you need subclasses for garbage types or not? And that depends. If you have some specific attributes for plastic, for instance, or some specific attributes for compost, or they are involved in some strange relationships that other types are not, then we need a complex type. But if you just need to know the name of the type, plastic, compost, paper, whatever, then if you just need the name, we could just put it in a special attribute that has that name of the type. So the same thing here, the term. You have different types or the different values of terms, but these are actual values that can be in that one term attribute. And then debentures may be convertible or non-convertible, and they have periods. So there are types and periods of debentures. So if we copy, let's see. And hopefully I get room for everything. It's hard to. Debenture, and we said we had the, we had the type and the period. And for the last type, investment, shares. We have two kinds of shares, equity shares and preferred shares. Again, there are two types, but it doesn't say that these two types have some special attributes or some special relationships, so we can do with just the type. So for shares, we have types. Share, and for share we just have the type. Now if we make this into the we just copy. And then the question is, what are the constraints? Again, we have the whether it's mandatory or optional. Doesn't seem to be the case. So it seems that these are the only ones. Mandatory. So mandatory participation. Mandatory. Could it possibly be a mix of them?
No.
No. So it's also or. Now the question, is this enough? Or is there something missing? And you know when I'm asking, there's probably something missing. Would we be able to compute the interest on fixed deposit, for instance, based on this? What do we need to know besides this? How do you calculate interest? We need a date, because if we don't know the date, we don't know when to start calculating an interest. So we need to know the date. So where should the date go? So next to the amount. So we need to know not just the amount, but also the date. Okay. That is how I would suggest we go forward. We try to find what are the major entity types, how are they associated. We try to, and we, as we did already, we did need to discuss how is this to be interpreted. Would these employees be employees of those institutions or employees of something else? And we need to clarify, and sometimes we need to then to define the or make our assumptions clear, and sometimes we find it seems obvious and clear. A question?
It also states that the company also accepts fixed deposits from the general public institution and its employees.
Yes.
So wouldn't that mean that employees in institutions only can do fixed deposits? And how do we separate that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading it as the customers were general public, institutions, and employees. So I was reading that these were the types of customers. So it will accept everything for all customers. So they offer to all customers shares, debentures, and also they also offer fixed deposits. Because, I mean, if you interpret customers as being the set of the three, and that's how we implemented this. So it means that even the general public could invest in shares and debentures. But if that was not the case, it's a good question. If that was not the case, how would we solve this? Because then we couldn't have this relationship from the general customer over here. So what we could do then is that we may need to have an extra level. We will have the general public, and then we will have the base customers. And base customers, they could have everything. General public would just have the fixed. So we need an extra class in the hierarchy to say, okay, because then these two would have certain relationships, but general public, which is also a subclass here, will not. And the best way to do that will have a superclass for these two. And the superclass will have the relationship to the investment scheme, while the general public will only have a relationship to fixed deposit. So that will be one way to solve that, introduce an extra class in between. But the way I'm reading it is that the customers are these plus general public, and they can buy everything. That's how I'm reading that. But again, this is something that you will want to state to be clear to the customer. Is this really what you want? Because it's a bit ambiguous. Was this pretty much as you ended out in your preparations? Those of you who did? Good. I hope the by seeing it and seeing the way of thinking is helpful. So the next one, draw a diagram for a database for a writing school. If you haven't read it, then read it. We're just going to spend the rest of this lecture hour on it, so we will probably not be able to complete it, but at least we get started. So what are the most important entity types?
Person.
Because they say keep record of people involved, so that will be a person. What else? We want to they own horses, and horses have names. So obviously a horse. Horse owner will be one of the special types of people. What other types of people will we have?
Student.
Student, yes. And now here comes a trick question. Do we have other types of people or persons in here? It doesn't really say, does it? It says that it wants to keep record of people involved in its work, and then it goes on to mention two of them. But doesn't say whether these are the only two, or whether it could be other types of, so it doesn't clearly say. So again, this is something that we will need to state the assumption. Do we assume that these are the only ones that are involved in the work? So involved in their work means that either they are students or they own a horse. These are the only ones involved. And in that case, we say these are the only two subclasses. Otherwise, we will have to say that they could be other types as well. So if we try to create that hierarchy at least, so we have person, and let's see, we have let's call it the owner. Horse owner. And and the other one would be the student. Okay, and we'd like this to be three subclasses, so we then the constraints. Participation. Are we agreeing whether there should be other, or these are the only two people involved in work?
I would just go for mandatory.
You would go for mandatory. So we know that these are the two, and we, there's not mentioning of anything else. So these would be the two. So then we go for mandatory. Again, it would be worth talking to the to the actual customer. Or and. It says pretty clearly that it could be both a student and a horse owner. So that was pretty clear. Let's see what our time is running out. Now, for students can participate in classes, but what's more interesting would be the horse, I believe. So let's, before we take a break, let's go for the horse. Sorry. Just the horse. Let's see if I can make this a bit smaller. Okay, let's put it this way. So what's the relationship between horse owner and horse? It's a weak entity. Because it says that, if you go here to the text, it says that a horse has name and birth date. None of the attributes, name or birth date, of horses are unique. So obviously, horses can be born on the same date, and two owners may have a horse named the same thing, or named the same. But a horse can be identified by its name and horse owner's ID, which means that the horse owners, they don't have two horses with the same name. They have unique names, but two horse owners may have horses with the same name. So because of that, we will have so... if you go up a little bit, then if you look at the primary, the is it just the ID, personal ID, being the primary key, and since horse owner is a person, it will inherit this, and the horse has. Let's see, name, which is partially the primary key, because it's part of the key, but it can't be the key alone. We also need to know whoever is the horse owner. And if we look at this relationship, it means that here, horse has one and only one owner. So that's important. And we should have the open arrow, no filled arrow, say that this is a weak entity relationship. And then we would add more of the attributes. And, of course, the cardinality will need to be complete and everything. But I hope you get to see the overall picture. So, and we don't have to put any primary keys here because they are inherited. So the primary key that will be part of the horse full key. And remember, when we talk about a partial key only exists in this model. When we get to a database, we can't create partial keys. We need complete keys. So when we get to database, we need to talk about the complete key. And the complete key will be the partial part plus whatever it inherits or gets from the weak or the strong entity it's related to. Okay, then we spent our time. So let's take a break. And after a break, we'll talk about how we can assess or validate the models that we have created.